You're a wizard, Abby! Potter Book Club for The Goblet of Fire with
Michael DeMauro,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Majaya Shrestha. This week, we discuss Chapter 21, The House Elf Liberation Front. We also discuss the pros and cons of SPEW, or SPEW, and the Tri-Quizzer Tournament continues.
We're back with another round of the Tri-Quizzer Tournament, Task 2, Jeopardy. And this time, Sarah's in the lead with 13 points, Bajaya with 12 points, and Michael catching up with 11 points.
Okay. Can we do siblings and families for 200?
I literally have not had a question yet.
Jeez. Okay.
Oh, Bajaya, you got this.
All right.
You got this.
Hey.
That's a curse. That's a curse.
Siblings and families for 200. Which Ravenclaw and twin to Parvati attended the Yule Ball with Ron Weasley?
Sarah.
Padma.
Yep.
Right.
Sorry. You couldn't let me have the Asian one? Good God.
Oh, okay. Magical names for 100.
Oh no.
Okay. Alex. I don't know. Yeah. I felt like you're natural. I felt natural. Sure. No, that was Alex.
Siri called her.
Megan.
That's okay.
What is the name Jenny gave to Ron's owl?
I'm going to die, actually. Oh, I finally get one. Yeah. Widget.
It is.
I get a point. Which means little bird.
100.
Yep.
I got a point!
Congratulations! You did it!
You've
done it!
What's our current? Do we know what our current total is or not?
Yeah, this is a good point.
But Jai's got
with
one.
This too.
Thanks, Alan.
I got six.
Michael's got seven.
No, I thought everyone
just,
was
they're just all
one
point.
Yeah, we're
just
one
point.
Oh.
We ain't
doing that.
You both have two, and Jaya has one.
No, Sarah's got three.
Sarah's got three.
Just kidding, Sarah's.
Fuck!
I can count. I should not celebrate
yet. You can count.
This is why Alan is keeping official score.
Congratulations. You got it.
Congratulations. Okay. Congratulations.
Chapter 21, The House Elf Liberation Front. It sounds like a real military thing. So the three of them go up to the owlry to send a note off to Sirius with Pigwidgeon saying Harry, like, finished the first task and he was, like, how he did it, blah, blah. So on the way, Harry's, like, filling Ron in all about Karkaroff being a Death Eater, and Ron's like, oh my god, it totally makes sense, because Malfoy wanted to go to Durmstrang, and he was probably, Karkaroff was probably at the campground during the World Cup, and he's, like, convinced that it was Karkaroff that put Harry's name in the cup. Hey. And he also doesn't think that the other tasks that are coming up are going to be that dangerous. Hey! I'm going to put one of you upstairs if you don't quit. He doesn't think the other tasks that are coming up are going to be as dangerous. Because he's like, it's already this dangerous. How much more dangerous can it be? So stupid. And,
idiot.
Yeah. But Harry thinks that Ron is saying these things to make up for the fact that he's been a dick the past couple of weeks. But he's like, well,
years
happy.
Too, though.
Yeah. Nah, he's like, but he's okay with it. So Ron's like, I think you could win the whole thing. blah, blah. And Hermione's like, dudes, come on. If the first task was this hard, what else do you think is coming? Like, come on, snap back into it.
They're not going to start with the hardest.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Come on. Like, they've never done anything before. Like, yeah, the hardest task is given to you first? No. So, there's a party in the Gryffindor common room for Harry, and the twins have stolen a bunch of food from the kitchens, and everyone's like, open the egg. Except Hermione, who's totally, like, a ball buster. She's like, I think you're supposed to work on that by yourself. And Harry says, yeah, like the first one. Also, I hate the scene in the movie because everybody's like, open the egg. And Harry's like, you want me to open it? Who wants me to open it? You want me to open it? Stupid. I hate it.
He's loving it. Yeah. He's just really
He's never had, like, hype men. He's never, like, had an audience really to interact with.
He's stupid. So he opens the egg, but it's hollow inside, but it lets out an ear-splitting, screeching wail. And Seamus is like, I think it's a banshee. And he's like, that's probably going to be the next task. And Neville thinks it sounds like someone being tortured and wonders that if Harry will be put under the Cruciatus curse. Hermione's like, Fred, where did you get all this food from? From the kitchen? And if, like, a person would need to go down there, like, how would you do that? I'm just asking for a friend. No reason. He starts to tell her, just go to the painting of a bowl of fruit, tickle the pear, and it giggles, and then the door, like, will appear.
Obviously.
Yeah, duh. But then, like, him and George get suspicious of her, and they're just like, you know, just leave him alone. And then just while they're saying that, Neville turned into a canary. He ate like a cream puff thing, and he turned into a canary because it was the premiere of Fred and George's new product, Canary Creams. 7 sickles.
Same as a wand.
That's the same as a wand.
I guess those are 7 galleons, but...
Oh, yeah, same. 7 galleons.
Same.
Same number, whatever. So now it's December, and it's, like, windy and sleety, and Hagrid has been keeping Madame Maxime's horses pretty well tended with so much whiskey that the wafts itself is, like, coming through the troughs is enough to make the students lightheaded. Like, how strong is that whiskey? Like, being lightheaded during care of magical creatures is not good because they're still looking after their scroots. And there are only 10 left because they apparently love killing each other. And they did not exercise out their desire to kill each other. They're almost 6 feet tall. Or tall. 6 feet long. Hagrid wants to see if they hibernate by... Hey! Stop! I'm podcasting!
Oh,
so
snap.
Fuck you, Mom. So Hagrid wants to see if they hibernate, and they're like, he's like, put them in these these boxes. And
I was like 6 foot tall, standing on their leg scroots that are in baskets. That's creepy.
6 foot long. Sorry. So the scroots do not appreciate being nailed into boxes. They're like. They fucking bust out of there, and there's, like, they're running around everywhere, and there's wood pieces, and then who shows up?
Who?
But Rita Skeeter.
Oh, boy.
She is not supposed to be allowed back in school anymore, so, you know, we'll see how she gets there. So she starts asking about Scroots, and only then does Harry realize that maybe these Scroots are not legal. Like, he just then starts questioning where Hagrid got these things, because... Hagrid is very, like, evasive when he's answering Rita Skeeter's questions about the Scroots. So Hermione's like, I totally love them. I mean, like, they're challenging, but we're learning so much. And Harry tries to, like, chime in. And Hagrid also agrees to do an interview with Rita, which is a terrible idea. So they, like, make plans to meet up later. They go to divination, which is fun again now because Ron and Harry are back together. They're back together. And they're just giggling and... carrying on, and which annoys Trelawney, who's like, some of them might need to pay attention because she has seen death looming closer than ever. So by some, she obviously means Harry. Yeah.
Of course.
So Hermione's not at dinner that day. They go looking for her in the library, but they only find Crumb. who's like looking all surly and stuff. So they're about to go into the Gryffindor common room, but Harry comes behind them and pulls them somewhere else. So they're going down to the kitchen to meet the house elves. Ron's like, no, I'm not doing that spew shit right now. This is not my life right now. And Hermione's like, that's not what this is about. I found someone. I was down there talking to the house elves and I found someone and you're going to love it. So they go down to the kitchen and it's Dobby.
What?
Dobby's at Hogwarts.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's wearing a tea cozy for a hat on which he's pinned a number of bright badges, a tie patterned with horseshoes over a bare chest, a pair of children's soccer shorts, and odd socks, one of which is the one that Harry handed to Mr. Malfoy.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Dobby and Winky is there too, by the way. Mr. Crouch's old house elf. I almost said housewife. House elf. So they were given jobs by Dumbledore, but Winky is not doing well. She's dressed in matching, like, she's, like, dressed smartly in a matching skirt and shirt and a hat. But clearly, like, Dobby's is all, like, clean and well cared for, and she just does not care for what she's wearing. It's, like, kind of dirty and stuff.
She's depressed.
I know. She's, like, immediately starts crying. Dobby tells him that he's had a really hard time finding a job because dismissed house elves, you know, jobs aren't everywhere for them. And he's traveled the country for 2 years trying to find a job, and he didn't get one. And he's also had a hard time because he wants payment now. Because he's a free elf, you know? When he says that, all the other elves are like, oh my god, he's crazy. Please don't listen to him. They've been at Hogwarts for a week. Dumbledore is paying him 1 galleon a week, and he gets 1 day a month off, which Hermione's like, that's not much. And he's like, oh my god, Dumbledore offered me 10 galleons a week and the weekend's off, but like, it was too much for me and I couldn't do it. He like argued Dumbledore down. So Winky's the opposite. She's like, I'm disgraced, but I've not sunk that low to be paid. Then Hermione's like, what? You're a free elf. Like, this whole time Winky's crying. She starts to say Crouch was really terrible to Winky, but Winky's like, you will not say crap about my master, because she still considers Crouch her master. Harry says, wait, what? House elves can't speak their minds about their masters? Like, which he knows they can't, because he's Dobby had to hit himself in book two when he almost said bad things about the Malfoys. Like, just, I don't know, think about stuff before you say things, Harry.
That's not what he does, though.
Yeah, that's true. So Dobby's like, I really like Dumbledore because he agrees that Dobby and Winky are free elves. And he even told Dobby that he could call him a barmy old codger if he wanted. And he's like, I don't want to do that. So Dobby's like, Harry asks Dobby if he can say stuff about Malfoys now. And Dobby's like, I can say that they're very bad, dark wizards. And then immediately starts banging his head on the table because old habits die hard. So Winky says that she's disgraced her family because her mom and her grandma served for the Crouches too. So the shame runs real deep. And she stops crying hard when Hermione tells them that, like, they've seen Crouch recently and he seemed fine. She also says, like, that they saw Crouch with Ludo, and Winky says that Ludo Bagman is a bad man, but she won't say why because she keeps her master's secrets. So Dobby has plans to buy a sweater next, but Ron is like, you know what? I'll give you my sweater that my mom sends every year. So as they're leaving the kitchen, they're stuffing their pockets with snacks that the house elves are giving them. Everyone, like Ron and Harry, are Hermione's. And Dobby's like, can I come see you sometime? And Harry's like, yeah. So Ron is also less impressed with the twins stealing food from the kitchen all the time because it's like, it's not stealing if they're giving it to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Hermione thinks that Dobby will be a good example for the others. But what about Winky? Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
So some new things, the kitchen entrance and the kitchen itself. The kitchen has four long wooden tables that are positioned exactly beneath the four house tables above in the Great Hall. So I'm guessing like they laden the table with food and then it gets magicked upstairs whenever it's dinner time or meal time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. and Hogwarts house elves. We meet them. They wear a tea towel stamped with the Hogwarts crest tied like a toga. And there are about 100 of them. And then house elves getting paid for work is new. I don't really have anything from Pottermore, but I have several questions.
Okay.
One is not really a question, but an exclamation. So when they are sending letter to Sirius with Pigwidgeon, Ron just throws Pig out of the window, and it says that Pig plummets 12 feet before he can pull himself up. Why would you do that? He just throws him out the window.
Because he's a cruel teenager.
Yeah, that's rude.
Yeah, that's rude as heck. How is Rita getting into school if she's not allowed? Any
You would
theories?
Think that security is pretty good, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, the only person who's ever broken into Hogwarts that I know of is Sirius Black, and he did that because he was an animagus, animagus, whatever.
Animagus. Voldemort kind of snuck in.
So, like, you know, I don't. That's, so that I, means, I, that means it's impossible because she's not she's not a registered
animagus. So we don't know, right?
Yeah. So that's not it. So I don't know how she's doing it. I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she is. If she was, what would she turn into, you think? I think she'd turn into a bat, because she's batty.
Maybe a beetle?
Into a...
That's too little. She could get squished.
Into a skier.
A mosquito?
A mosquito.
Oh, I thought you said a skier. Like, that's
I did say a skier, and I was going to go with that until Michael suggested a mosquito, which makes more sense because to take on the form of a person, you know, with contraptions on their feet going down a hill is ridiculous.
What about a slithery little snake?
She could be a snake. Did she go to Hogwarts, do we know?
I think so. I think she did.
Which house was she in?
Probably
Slytherin.
Probably Gryffindor, Slytherin.
Maybe Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff.
No.
One of those four,
definitely.
Do we think that Trelawney's death looming prediction is real or fake? Or was she just, like, lucky? Because she does have, like, some real predictions.
But she didn't get all creepy, though, right?
Yeah.
No, that, yeah.
I only trust her when she gets real creepy.
I think, like, there could be some predictions where she's, like, doing other stuff that she probably gets right.
I think it's, like, a carnival person who, like, any psychic or carnival caller who's like, I can predict this, and they just state things that are... They basically cleverly ask questions that get them to a point where they can predict something that's like, sort of relevant to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that, like, she's probably pretty good.
Like that one show... like long ago, where that dude used to talk to ghosts.
Oh yeah, the one on Hulu. I like how that is what we're talking about. No, there was a Hulu show. Or are you talking about Ghost Rider?
No.
Which was the best show ever?
No, this. Was
Do you
like
mean the X Files?
No, this was like a real a talk show where this dude named
you
John
mean Casper? Oh, Crossing Over, Crossing Jordan, is Crossing it? Jordan, Crossing Over, Crossing Over. One of those. Crossing Jordan was maybe. Not it. That was maybe like a drama, but I think Crossing Over.
Yes, the Ghostbusters cartoon?
Crossing Over with John Edward. Because he used to just be like, I see a name starting with a J, and someone would get up and be like, yeah, my dad, John, died. Yes, you. He says he loves
but
you.
But it could also be Ghostbusters or Tales from the Crypt, maybe.
Is it the Addams Family?
Oh my god, this is not getting out of hand. Anyway, so how do you think that the Weasley twins learned all the secrets of the castle? Like, I probably from the Marauder's Map, right? Because I think the Marauder's Map also told you how to get into the secret tunnels.
I mean, that definitely helped a lot, but...
I think that they probably just, one, investigate a lot, and two, they probably talk to a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? Like, they probably ask a lot of questions and, like, probably piecemeal. A lot of people know a lot of things handed down from their parents, you know?
That's true.
Well, and just getting into all that mischief, you know? I mean, it's just, that's how the original Prongs and Padfoot and all those guys
sometimes
figured it
you
all
fall
out.
And you trip and you accidentally tickle a pear.
That sounds weird.
Tickling a pear sounds terrible. That does not sound like a thing that
you want
should be
to
doing
do
at a high school.
Do not do that.
So,
well, isn't there their actual motto is never tickle a sleeping dragon, but apparently yeah. you should tickle a very still life pear,
a laying around pear. So, do you think the house elves magically heal themselves? Because whenever they do something wrong, they tend to hurt themselves pretty badly.
Hmm.
Maybe they just have a higher, their bodies are more like resistant to
remember,
injury.
He says he either like
he shot ironed his, he ironed yeah, his hands or something.
Yeah, and he had to bandage it. So like yeah. he hits himself in the head a lot. Yeah,
but maybe evolutionarily they've evolved to become more resistant to their own self harm.
Yeah. Evolution. Get that crock of nonsense out of here.
Sorry. Maybe. Nope.
All right. So my last question is, can we talk about how House Elf Liberation Front, H-E-L-F, miss being help, H-E-L-P.
Well, if you spell front with, a P.
Front? No, I meant like.
No, I meant P-H.
Oh, no. That's even worse. I meant like pick a different word that instead of front.
House Elf Liberation Posse. House Elf Liberation Party.
There you go.
Patrol.
Peoples.
People.
There's persons.
So many. Just make it help instead of health.
Help. But then she won't spew anyway.
Help. Anybody. Yep. Yeah, spew. Help is way better. Come on, Hermione. Think with your head sometimes instead of your butt.
I don't know. Spew is pretty good. I mean, it's
Spew is memorable.
It's very memorable. It's not... Help sort of speaks more to what is actually being done, but spew is certainly more memorable. I think kind of like scuba, because that's a weird word. Scuba.
You can't deny that. It is a very weird word.
That is also an acronym / initialism. Okay.
Oh,
I'm not just saying a weird word, guys.
We're not stupid. God.
That's
well,
not
I don't
true.
Michael is You're just like that's
up.
A weird word. Sure, whatever. Bye.
Was the chapter.
I did have a question.
Yeah.
But now I've forgotten it.
Oh.
That was a long chapter. I feel like a lot happened.
Maybe I just drag out my chapters, but you know, I
no,
get excited.
I think a lot happened in it.
Yeah, that was El Chirpter.
Great work.
Thanks. Y'all want to talk about some spew stuff?
Let's do it.
Hey, so you know how Hermione's all about this spew stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? What's the pros and cons of spew? Just like with any activism stuff, you know?
I mean, I think the number one probably issue with it is her having never actually talked to house elves. Like, that's a pretty rough starting point.
What are you talking about?
She's literally only met, like, two house elves.
She has a friend who is a house elf, Bajaya. Yeah.
Dobby, yeah. Met him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for her, the one house elf she's met is a nut job.
Or is
or
he
more
the same
of a
one?
Nut job?
Huh? I mean,
he's certainly the outlier to a very large pool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Hagrid that says, well, you know, there's a nut job in every species or whatever.
I guess my question is I understand that Hermione feels very strongly about this. And, you know, I guess I totally understand, even though she's maybe not approaching this with any level of cultural understanding from the house elves perspective.
Yeah.
But what are her actionable items? What is she other than badgering people into some sort of vague something? Like, is she just trying to seek awareness, and how is that awareness going to result in policy change? I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, so there's a Pottermore article about that actually argues like the pros and cons of Hermione Granger in Spew and the Pitfalls of Activism is what the article itself is called. So it talks about how Hermione wants a lot at once. Like you have to do small things to build up for what you're trying to get done. You can't just expect everyone to care about what you care about like now and expect them to give you money and expect them to care as much as you do and then expect everything to change like now. Like I kind of do policy work and as my employment. And you can't do that. You have to build a base, you have to build like coalitions and then you build up from that. You can't expect, unless it's like a crazy thing that happened, you can't expect everything to happen on your time. Like, that's not going to happen.
You can't just expect to fix House Elves, all of House Elves' issues in one fell swoop, what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it took forever for civil rights to get passed in America. And
It's still not really...
It's not great still. So she can't just be like, well, House Elves are slaves right now and they need to be freed. Like, she also doesn't have... Sorry, go ahead.
No, continue.
Oh, I mean, it is a problem, right? So, like, they're basically slaves, even if people want to argue that that's what they want. I mean, they probably want that because that's the only thing they've ever known. But she also doesn't really have a plan about what's going to happen to them after... If, like, what she wants done right now does get done, like, what's going to happen to the House Elves?
It's like there's no real-world example of something like that that's ever happened before.
Well, Hermione doesn't know that. Well, she should, right?
She probably should. She's a smart girl.
And she was born in the Muggle world, so she probably learned some history.
Not like the British didn't colonize every single place on Earth.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking too, there have to be, we never see this, but there also have to be, I imagine, groups that also fight against people. She can't be the only person fighting for House Elf liberation. Like, that can't be a new phenomenon. That has to be something that's old. You know what I mean? Because I feel like abolition of any sort is something that even if there's not huge numbers of people, there's always been someone speaking out. You know, pretty aggressively, or I don't know if aggressive is the right word, pretty vocally, pretty prominently.
I mean, Dobby can't be the very first House Elf who's wanted freedom.
Right, exactly. So, like, are there, in the Wizarding world, are there people who are working to, you know, pouring a lot of money into people who are talking to the ministry and saying, no, House Elves are fine, they love it, don't worry about it. I mean,
she can't be the first person to care about House Elves. That would just mean that everybody else doesn't care about anyone other than wizards, which, I mean, maybe.
I mean, but. So does the article talk anything about sort of Hogwarts' position on House Elves?
No, it's just like some pros and some cons. It doesn't really talk about people's positions other than what Hagrid says about, like freeing them would be doing an unkindness to them. That phrase is taken to show that Hermione doesn't really know House Elves. Like, the champion for House Elves should be someone that knows about House Elves and what they want and they don't want. Right. Or, like, someone sensitive to their needs and wants.
Right.
And not just someone that saw this injustice, which it is an injustice, and then just picked up the banner to champion it without really knowing much about the creature she is championing or what they want. So.
Right. Well, then
And if there is one Dobby out there, then obviously there should be a way for, like, if there is any House Elves out there who want freedom, I mean, there should be something for them, right? Like,
right. Well, and I think it also shows, though, an ignorance on Hagrid's part or sort of an assumption that a lot of people make is that, I don't know. I don't think you can make an assumption unless you're an actual house elf. But, you know, do we see... I'm trying to think, and obviously this is sort of a later book thing, but, like, do we see a lot of movement on the Spew front, or does it kind of die out after this in terms of actual, you know, advancements with actual actionable items, with things that are resolved, with people who are joining the cause, that kind of thing? Do we ever see any of that?
I don't think so. I don't think we get much more advancement of spew stuff. But I like to think that since Hermione goes on to be a big wig in the ministry, that she continues. And maybe by that, like, she's a teenager right now.
Right.
When have you not been teenagers and just thought, like,
you can solve the problems of the world.
Right. But maybe once she's in the ministry, she has learned how to be diplomatic and, like, has talked to more house elves, hopefully.
Well, I like that. I like that idea, even though I sort of reject Cursed Child as a thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the idea that, she does, and I, regardless of how I feel about Cursed Child, the fact that Hermione joins the ministry makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
And I do like the fact, or the idea that, you know, teenagers are reading this and they're reading about somebody discovering something that bothers them and somebody taking a stance, but also that person realizing that, because it's pretty obvious, I think, to the reader even, that Hermione doesn't really know house elves. She hasn't really met house elves. There are outliers in terms of house elves. You know, there's all of these factors that don't make it quite so cut and dry, that don't make your cause the straightforward line that it might be. But at the same time, it's sort of an early action that gets you involved and gets you motivated to maybe join politics or join, you know, some sort of social action or you know, group that is actively working to better someone else's life. And I do like the idea that there's a character that maybe someone who's reading this can identify with and say, hey, I'm that person, and try and make their own spew and then grow to join their government or whatever.
Spew it up. Yeah, I mean,
spew it up.
We're not saying that house elves shouldn't have rights and shouldn't be free and shouldn't get paid. But, like, things like, well, activism and, like, advocacy stuff takes a while to do, but social change takes some time, too. Because that's the society we live in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Well, incremental steps. And it's disheartening, but you gotta fight the uphill battle, even sometimes with your friends, like Hermione.
Yeah. So keep on fighting the good fight, Hermione, but maybe talk to more house elves. And see if there are other people championing their cause instead of just shaking collection boxes under people's noses. Oh, Hermione. We love you.
Oh, Hermione.
She's good-hearted. She's well-meaning, but misguided.
I do like that this article is like, the pro is like, look at Dobby. He's the example for why they why this spew is great. And then the con is, look at Winky. Look what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different side to every coin.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't even know if it's pros and cons of activism. More like things that are easier and things that are harder. And things that you will encounter. Because I think activism is pretty much a pro.
Yeah.
For the most part. I guess there's evil activism, but you know what I mean.
And I mean, you know, Winky had something forced upon her as well.
Yeah.
She didn't want freedom. So having that forced upon her, I mean, I think the lesson here is don't force house elves to do things
they don't want to do.
Freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Free will.
Free will.
I mean, they have been indoctrinated for generations, so that's going to take a while to, you know, get out of their heads. So maybe, like, this generation has... How do house elves procreate? I don't know. I don't want to talk about that. But maybe the next generation can be born free and, you know, all that stuff, and won't have the indoctrination in their heads. Ooh, house elves procreating. No.
They're like bread.
They're like the Uruk-hai.
I mean, there's girl ones and boy ones.
No! Not talking about house elf sex.
Hey, maybe they lay eggs.
Oh, that's even worse. This segment turned into something else. I don't like it.
Next week's episode, we discuss house elf procreation
in great detail.
In great detail.
Bye. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Alan Matthews. Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter at PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at That Thing Ninja.
That's a musical interval.
It's perfect.
So...
don't even need Alan. Oh.
Oh, shit. Michael.
What? Huh?
So... what you just know happened? How her... oh, shit. I was trying to start the next segment.
Oh, you guys.
But really, like, if they do, like, bump uglies, Hogwarts has, like, 100 of them. Do you think they'll have to have, like, house elf condoms and birth control available to them in the kitchen?
I know they don't pay them. I'm not giving Hogwarts a lot of credit at this point. Were they, like... do they have little, like, apartments and, like, houses and they, like,
or lie they just in sleep
there?
On the floor?
Well, I don't know. Like, if you have a little family, I assume that some of them have families. Or do they live in Hogsmeade? Like, do they go home? But they're all working late at night.
I think they stay there.
Castle, yeah.
I mean, if I, like, got free housing, it's not like they're going to be able to pay for rent in Hogsmeade anyway.
Yeah.
How does society... oh, I guess that's... never mind. I was like, society, like, I feel like slave society is never a good society. But I was like, how does that work for them? Probably not well. For either end. Excuse me.
Mm.
Not good.